prisoner away. Amen. She said she wasn't going to be here, but she's here anyhow. So we bless the Lord for that. And we just thank God for his goodness. We thank God for his kindness. We thank God for his mercies. Anybody glad to be a one of God's mercies children? I'm so glad for God's mercy. Because mercy says that you're guilty, but God forgives you anyhow. We just thank God for mercy. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for our scriptures reading. Amen. We bless the Lord for everyone that's here tonight. We thank God for our visitors, our friends. Amen. And we just thank God for being a good God. Anybody know that God's a good God? Amen. People may let you down, but one thing about God, the Bible says God never fails. You can count on God when you can't count on anyone else. When every person that you thought you could count on has let you down, you can still count on God because he never fails. Amen. We're going to read a few verses of scripture in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Then we're going to read two verses of scripture in Philippians. And we're going to continue our thought on, that we had on Sunday. Are we serving God out of conviction or out of preference? Tonight we're going to continue our study. Are we serving God out of conviction or are we serving God out of a preference? And we'll get a little more into that. Amen? Do we all have Romans chapter 12? If not, we know that it is on the screen. Verse 1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. And Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. If we have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
And if we don't have it, it is again on the screen. Verse 20 reads, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but in all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be my life or my death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word. And the church said,
word of the Lord
is blessed, and you may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Lord, hallelujah.
Amen. We just thank God for being a personal Savior. Anybody know God as a personal Savior? Does anyone have a true relationship with Jesus? On Sunday, we went over serving God, and we explained that there's a difference between serving God as a preference and serving God out of conviction. A preference in serving God is we believe God and we say we desire to follow God. And there's a difference between following God and desiring to follow God. Amen? When you follow God, as Paul said, we read, whether it be by life or by death. That means that we are following God. When we have a desire is a preference. And as we said, a preference is a strong belief in God. It's a desire to follow God, but that desire can change based on circumstances if they change. Amen. And for tonight, I'm going to highlight 12 circumstances that can cause us to change. And we will try to break them down scripturally as well. A conviction is, I'm going to serve God no matter what. That's a conviction. No matter what. If my best friend turned their back on God, I'm going all the way. Sometimes your spouse may turn their back on God, but I'm going all the way. there. Somebody may hurt me and let me down in church, but if God didn't do it, so I'm still going
all the way.
So a conviction is, Lord, no matter what, I'm going to go all the way. No matter what pitfalls, no matter what trials, no matter what tests on my way, I'm not going to turn my back on God. That is a conviction. A preference to serve God is when things don't go your way, you will take it out on God. That's a preference. So tonight, if we're to title our message, we're going to deal with preferential salvation. Preferential salvation or serving God at your convenience. Preferential salvation or serving God at your convenience. Amen? I'm going to highlight 12 circumstances that can cause us, we went over some of them on Sunday, to turn our back on God or to not be convicted to follow God. And as we went up on Sunday, there were many that tried to stop Paul. But Paul said, I'm bound in the Spirit. Amen. And no matter what comes my way, he said, I'm determined to be obedient to God. That's a conviction. A conviction is I'm determined to be obedient to God no matter what comes my way. And we did use Daniel when they were taken into Babylonian captivity. And they tried to give Daniel a portion of the king's meat, which was not something that he felt so God wanted him to do. And the scripture said that Daniel purposed in his heart. That's a conviction. It's in my heart. And he purposed in his heart that he would not be defiled with anything that would dishonor God. That is a conviction. Amen? So I'm going to highlight the 12 circumstances that they're not the complete, but these 12 probably would include all the other things that you can add to it. Amen? Number one is unexpected trials. When things happen unexpectedly, amen, when we are planning something and we're in a good mood and everything is going well, when something unexpected happens, if you serve God out of a preference, you'll get mad at God and stop coming to church. But if it happens unexpectedly, out of conviction, you say, no matter what, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And nothing's going to change my mind. So unexpected trials, extreme hardships, number two. Number three is external pressure, especially from someone who you highly respect or might be in a position of authority. When they try to persuade you and you stop coming because you respect them, that is a preference. Number four, unwillingness to stand for God alone. Yeah, I've heard people say, if you go to church, I'll go to church. But if you don't go, I won't go. That is a preference. That is not serving God out of conviction. Unwillingness to stand alone for God. If your beliefs are such that other people stand with you before you will stand, your beliefs are based on preference, conveniences, and security, but not a conviction. Number five, family pressure. The fear or the threat of a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, children, or a very close loved one or friend turning their back on you or ostracizing you because you make a stand for God and for what is right in God's eyes. If you can't go through that, that is a preference. Amen? Once again, family pressure can make us turn our back on God because something unexpectedly happened. Number six, the threat of a lawsuit because of your stand for God and doing what he has commanded us to do. Number seven, the threat of being jailed or imprisoned for serving God and obeying him. Number eight, the threat of death for not denying the Lord. Would you die for your beliefs? Tonight, would you die for your beliefs? Amen. I'm going to give you a small story again. The threat of losing personal possessions for serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Refusing to sin. Number 10, double-minded. These are circumstances that would make a certain God out of preference and not out of conviction. Double-minded. Refusal to separate oneself from the world and ungodly friendships. Trying to hold on to God and to the world. That will make us serve God out of preference. And we can say we're full of compromise, because when you try to hold on to something that's not God, that means you have to let down your standards. So compromise. Number 11, we don't have a love for the truth. And number 12, disobedience. Accepting the words of someone who we deem to be spiritual or religious over what we know that God has told us to do or not to do. Once again, disobedience. Accepting the words of someone who we deem to be spiritual or religious over what we know that God told us to do or not to do. Those are the 12 circumstances. There are many more, but they pretty much include everything else. But for the sake of time, we're going to go backwards. All right, we're going to start at number 12. And then, Lord willing, we'll get as far as we can in 12, but I don't think we'll get out of 12. 12 is disobedience. Accepting the words of someone we deem to be spiritual or religious over what we know that God has told us to do or not to do. And the reason I'm going to start with that is because the Lord all out of nowhere spoke this word to me concerning Jeroboam. So we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 13. Amen. I was just sitting there praying and thinking, and the Lord just began to speak to me this. So I said, okay, if he speaks this to me, we go backwards. We do 12 first. Amen. Now, what I'm going to, I said, now, would you serve God? Would you die for your salvation? Right. If you were given a choice, would you die for your salvation? And this is a true story recorded in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Over in the Muslim countries, you know, they're constantly dealing with terrorists and guerrillas and people that are constantly invading the churches, attacking the churches. And there was one group of church members in a Muslim community, you know, most of the Eastern country over in the Middle East is Muslim. They were having a church service, and all the guerrillas broke in, shooting up in the sky with their M16s and guns. So they said, you have a choice at this time. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to stick to your faith and believe in God, they said, we're going to shoot every last one of you that stay here. They said, if you don't want to die, you can leave. I told this story before. But he said, if you want to live, you can leave. But if you want to serve God, they said, we're going to shoot everybody that stays in the church. So there was a mad exodus. After they all went out, they took off their masks, laid down their guns, and said, we only want to serve God with true believers. Right. All they wanted to know is who really wanted to serve God. So I wanted tonight. And this is a true story. If a bunch of guerrillas, a terrorist, ISIS, ISIL, or whoever, came in tonight and said, if you hold on to your faith, you're going to die. What will we do? And a matter of fact, recently, I believe it was, I don't know which one of the African countries, they broke into, I forgot what it was, a school or what it was, and they, I know one of them was when the Nigerians invaded that mall. They said, are you Christian? And these ones, and they asked, are you Christian? They knew if they said yes, they were going to die. They said, are you Christian? And they said, I cannot deny my Savior. And they just start blowing all the Christians away. I wonder if we were in those malls, what would we do? So would we die for the name of Christ? If we would die, that is a conviction. If we say, excuse me, I gotta go, that's a preference, amen? So now we're gonna go to 1 Kings chapter 13. And this is Jeroboam. This was the beginning of the divided empire. After Solomon's reign, his son Rehoboam took over. And the people asked Rehoboam, he said, if you make our job easier than your father, we'll serve you forever. And Rehoboam went to the old men that were aged and wise. He said, what do you counsel? They said, listen to the people, and they will serve you forever. Well, he forsook the counsel of the old men, and he went to his peers. He said, what do you think? What do you say? They said, make their job hard. Make their task even worse than your father. And as a result, 10 of the tribes left from following Rehoboam and followed Jeroboam and went north. And 2 of the tribes, Benjamin and Judah, went to Jerusalem, and Judah and followed after Rehoboam. So now, Jeroboam is in the north country with the 10 tribes, and Rehoboam is in the south country with the 2 tribes. So that'll bring us up, kind of up to where we are now, okay? Verse 1 reads, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now Jeroboam was a king, he was not the priest. So Jeroboam should not have been burning incense. So God sent a man of God to Israel from Judah. All right, so you know that this man of God had to be under conviction, because the scripture says that when Jeroboam began to place people in order, he didn't take the priests from the tribe of Levi. He took the base people and made them priests. And he even made himself priest in opposition to God. So God is trying to correct Jeroboam through the man of God. Amen? And verse 2 said that he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus said the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day. All right, let's get down to verse 4. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again. So he's acting as a priest. The man of God is trying to direct him. And it's really important. This is the man of God. He's speaking God's word. And Jeroboam gets mad because he's trying to redirect him to do the right thing. So he goes to stretch out his hand, and his hand dries up instantly. Hallelujah. You know that's God. Amen? Verse 5 says, the altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now pay particular attention, because this is the man of God speaking. God has given this man of God specific directions to follow. Amen? And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. So God is performing these miracles in the presence of who? Jeroboam. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was charged me by the word of the Lord. Excuse me once again. So he said, who told him? God. He's telling you what God told him. Now remember, number 12 is disobedience, placing a higher priority on the words of someone we deem to be spiritual or religious. All right, this is the disobedience. We have to follow it all the way through. So the man of God said, God told me not to do this, so I will not do it. Amen? Y'all still with me? Y'all quiet? All right. Okay, y'all good. All right. So he said, I cannot do this because God has given me a directive. that I must follow. In verse 11, what he said, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he said, this is what God told me. He said, I can't eat bread, I can't drink water. He said, neither can I go the same way that I came. But was this ambiguous? Was it a definite command from God? It was a definite command for God. Now let's see what the man of God that went to correct someone else, what happens to him in the end. Did he obey God or did he disobey God? So important that when we know God has spoken to us, when you know God has brought you out of sin, you know God has washed you and given you a fresh start, don't allow anybody to change what God has done in your life. No matter how spiritual they may be. Right? If someone is spiritual or super religious, and we got a whole lot of super religious people today, and they're giving you something that's not God's word, don't do it. You ought to obey God rather than man. When the religious leaders told the apostles, they don't even speak in his name anymore. They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Amen. So he said that God said, don't even return by the way that you came. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So he is being obedient to God. Amen? Now there was an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done in that place, in Bethel, the words which he had spoken to the king. Then they told also to their father. Now this prophet was in Bethel. He was a prophet of who? God. But God, remember, had given the man of God a directive for what to do and what not to do. Now he's going to come face to face with a prophet that was an old man in Bethel. And there's a whole lot more to that, but we just don't have time to get into all of that, because Bethel has been given total idolatry, which we'll learn a little later. If he was a true prophet, he had a choice to either stay or leave. So he was an old prophet that was still in an idolatrous situation that he could have separated himself from, but out of convenience, he stayed. He preferred to stay in an idolatrous situation than to have the conviction to do what was right. Amen? And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went and came from Judah. Now notice, they never give us his name. They just say he was what? A man of God. Not something that you have to guess, not something that we're not sure of, but it says specifically that he was a man of God. And he said unto his son, sell me the ass. So they settled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. He said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee again, because he knew that was God's command that he should not do it. Out of conviction, he should have kept going. But when you have a preference, you do what is convenient for you or what is easy. Amen? Verse 17 said, for it was said to me by God. That should have been the finish. God spoke directly to this man and told him what to do. He said, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou. He repeats what God told him specifically. Huh? Amen. I don't know what you said. It says it. Verse 18. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as God. Even if he were a prophet, When the man of God went, he went to correct the error of their way, because they were given to total idolatry. And the man of God knew specifically what God had said to him. I want to tonight have any of us in our spirits, in our souls, in our mind. Do we know what God said to us? And are we obedient to what God said? So the man of God, he said, well, I'm a prophet just like you are. But the problem is he was not God. God had given the man of God a directive. Now someone is coming to challenge God's word, to challenge his conviction. But let's see, did the old man of God have a conviction or a preference? Amen? He said, I am a prophet as thou art, and an angel spake unto me. Wait a minute, well, the Lord spoke to you, but an angel spoke to him. Who has the higher power?
God.
Right? Y'all with me? Who has the greater power?
God.
He said, but an angel. There are all kinds of angels. The Bible said the devil himself is able to disguise himself as an angel of
light.
Right. So he said an angel, but he said an angel of law, but he don't know who it was. He said an angel. Alright? But would God contradict what he already told you to do? So we know it couldn't have been a good angel if it were an angel. Because this man is contradicting what God told the man of God to do directly. Amen? He said, the angel said, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he what? Lied unto him. Oh, how can y'all tell me about my babies now?
Glory to God, hallelujah.
He what? He lied unto him. So let's see what the man of God does. The man of God had got a direct instruction from who? That's why it's so important in everything we do. He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. There are too many voices in the world. There are too many spirits in the world. John said there are many spirits, but as a child of God, we ought to test the spirit to see if it's of God or not. There is never a spirit, listen to me, there is never a spirit that would make you do opposite of what God says is right. Anything that makes you do opposite of right is not from God, because God does not contradict himself. And God does not contradict his word. Anything that has you going opposite of truth is a lie. And who's the father of all liars? They said, well, he lied. He lied unto him and said, well, he lied unto him. So he went back. This is a man of God that God sent to an idolatrous city, to an idolatrous situation to straighten out. And instead of being obedient to God, he listens to a lie. I wonder how many tonight know that God has spoken something directly in our spirit. But someone comes and says, well, I'm just as, you know, many people say, I'm just as spiritual as you are. I know the Bible just as well as you know the Bible. Watch manipulators. Right? Watch spiritual charlatans. Watch those that try to make you spiritual puppeteers. What does a puppeteer do? They say, if you want to see me do my thing, pull my strings, right? Can y'all loosen up? Y'all, seriously. Y'all loosen up. Y'all make a brother hurt himself. Hey, nobody smiling? Thank you, Sharon. But watch people that try to manipulate you. Anybody that tries to get you to go opposite of truth is not of God. Amen. So he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. Now this was a severe test. man of God. Are you going to be obedient to God? Are you going to listen to someone that is in a supposedly religious position? Are you going to listen to God? Hallelujah. Are you listening to somebody that's supposedly in a religious position? I'm just like you, but if they're lying, they're not from God. You understand? God does not lie. The Bible said God cannot and God will not lie. God will never lie. God is not a man that he should lie. God will never lie. So if you know in your spirit what God has told you to do, and the Bible said the spirit bears witness with the spirit, that's why you got to have the Holy Ghost and pray, because that's the spirit. And the only way that your spirit can bear witness with the spirit, well, what is the spirit? God is a spirit. So the spirit bears witness with the spirit, right? But the only way the spirit can bear witness with the spirit is you gotta have the spirit. Because the Bible says, if any have not the spirit, he's not of his. So if you have your spirit, and listen, I don't care what, don't make yourself. When you go opposite of God, you have to make yourself go opposite. Because the whole time you're trying to do wrong, God is speaking to you in the back of your mind. Come on, I've been there before. I ain't gonna mess with you. I've been there before. I know what God has told me. So I can pick on me. So you can say, yeah. You all messed up. Y'all put up here at me. Go ahead, everybody do like this. I'm all messed up. All right? I'm all messed up because I know that God said, you should do this. But out of fear and out of embarrassment, I was like, God, I can't do that. So I went opposite of what God told me. And all the time I'm going opposite, something back on my mind saying, you know it's not right. You know you're going the wrong direction. You know what you're doing is not of God. But out of fear and out of pressure of spiritual hierarchy, I don't know if that spiritual hierarchy is of God or not. But out of that pressure, I kept going the wrong way. And as I was going the wrong way for so long, I was in prayer one morning. And the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, you fear man more than me. I'm just telling you what happened right up here to me. Y'all like, listen, ain't that right? Trust me, y'all ain't like the man of God. Y'all hand ain't gonna dry up. Point up there. Don't be afraid, you ain't gonna dry up. Y'all hand ain't gonna dry up, so don't be scared. But this is the truth. I was praying, God said, you fear man more than me. And I'm getting into a little debate with God that knows everything. I'm going to lose anyway, right? Because he's the undefeated. Right? Anybody used to argue with God, he ain't never lost a case. God has never lost a battle. But I'm trying to rationalize with God. And when God finished talking to me, I said, Lord, you're right. Right? Because I look back over all those years, I knew what I was doing was wrong. But I did it out of fear. I did it out of the position that I was in and what I may possibly lose. But what I didn't realize and what we need to realize, when you lose God's favor, you lose everything. Well, I can't make this move because of this. Who are you going to obey? God or? There's a scripture in the Bible, in the third chapter of Romans. It says, let God be true. And everybody that's speaking opposite of God, let them be a lie. Who do we listen to? All right, let's get through this, because I know time's going to run out here before I get to the end of this anyway. It says, and he went back. And he cried unto the men of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord. Now this is one of those situations. How do you understand it? The man lied. The true man of God that should have obeyed God goes back. Now the liar is being used by God to pronounce judgment on the man that did wrong. That's a bad situation. But when you go after it, God can use whatever he wants to use to get you back on the right track. Amen. And crying unto the man of God, the king from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast, the liar is now being used by God to pronounce judgment on a true man of God. What the Bible says, that none of us knows our way ourselves, but because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The psalmist said, Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults. You know what secret faults are? I think I'm all right, but there's some stuff down in my heart. At the right time when it manifests itself, it helps me to see the, you know, that's a pretty us and that's ugly us. Yeah, right? I know most of y'all say, I ain't got no ugly. I'm talking about spiritual. So there's a pretty you and there's a, y'all gonna help me? I said there's a pretty you and there's a, the pretty you is when you're doing what God says. The ugly you, when you don't do what God says, that is ugly. And God doesn't like that. So there was the good pretty in the man of God, but unfortunately, there was something down in him that he didn't even realize was there. And it was so severe. Let's see what God does with the ugly man of God. We're not talking about looks. We talk about spirits. We talk about down on the heart, right? We talk about the real us when it comes to where the rubber meets the road. And he said, he says, I don't know what I meant. What read is what read. All right, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and has not, which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but came as bed and has eaten bread and drink water in the place, of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy Judah was God's place. Bethel was a place of idolatry. It was a place of sin. God sent the man of God from Judah to warn those down in Bethel about the idolatry and the gross sin that they were in. Now the man of God says, you know what? You messed up. You're not even going back to the land of God. You're going to be buried in the place of idolatry. Well, why? Because he disobeyed God. He listened to another voice that was contrary to God's voice because he preferred not to follow God. So he said he's going to bury him. He wasn't going to go to that place. Amen. And the scripture says, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he settled for him there, as to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by. You know, God does something strange here, right? Because that lion wasn't sitting there to do anything, because that lion was eating up the ass in the man. But God used the lion just to judge the man that had disobeyed him. So after the lion kills the man, now usually when you, after the animal does something, they leave. Because they finished doing what they're doing, right? But as they witnessed, they asked, stood by the man of God, and so did the lion. That's, you know, that has to be God. Because it's just not normal for something like that to happen. But God wanted them to see, you disobey me, these are the repercussions of disobeying God. Amen? So the lion and the ass stood by him, and they said, behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard them, he said, it is the man of God. Who was? Don't listen to anybody more than you listen to God. Best friend, I don't care who it is. I don't care what spiritual position they have, they're in. If they're telling you opposite of God, he said, this is the man of God that was what? Disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has delivered him unto the lion, which has torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, sell me the ass, and they sell him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way. After all this time, guess what? Everything was still in the same place. Because God was showing what happens when we walk opposite of his command. Amen? And the ass and the lion are still, after all this time, still. You know that's God. You don't just kill something and then sit there and look at it. Right? Come on, that's against nature. But God had it happen that way because he was proving a point. He said, don't you disobey me. You can kill him, but you can't eat him. Right? Because that was God. Amen? So when they went and found him, found the carcass and the man, and let's go to verse 29. It says, and the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. What did he bury him in? Did he bury him in a godly place or in an ungodly place? Ungodly place. Because why? He couldn't go back to the city of his father, the prophets, the good men of God. He couldn't go be buried with them. Because of what? The prophet said he's a man of God like he, but God had given him a direct command. I wonder how many of us obey man instead of God. Amen? And it came to pass, after he buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the sin which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel. He warned, how do you warn somebody and then fall prey to the same spirit? How do you warn somebody not to do something and then you turn around and do what you told them not to do? Amen? That's... serving God out of a preference and not out of a conviction. Amen. I got a few minutes. Let's go backwards to find out what was the real problem that the man of God was addressing that he knew about in Bethel. Now let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 12. Have a couple of minutes. We will explain what the problem was God was trying to correct that the man of God knew when he went there, but he did opposite of what God had told him to do. Don't let anyone cause you to get comfortable in a sinful place. In a place that's not going to honor and glorify. Don't get comfortable there. God said, listen, all I want you to do is warn them. He said, don't eat with them, don't drink with them. He said, don't even go the same way you came. Because I'm sending you to be a warning. Because a warning cometh before destruction. So God said, I'm sending you to warn them, but I don't want you to get comfortable there. Right? So we can serve God out of preference or convenience. Convenience is stuff is all messed up, sinned, and wrong, but I'm going to stay there. How can you stay in a situation that's contrary to God and say, I love the Lord? Then Jesus said, if you love me, he said, do what? Keep my commandments. And then John said, his commandments are not grievous. If we love God, can we keep his commandments? Or do we want to listen more to the voice of man? So 1 Kings chapter 12 tells us about how Rehoboam and Jeroboam had their situation. All right, let's go down to verse 25 because we already went over how they separated, okay? 25 says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence to build Penuel. And Jeroboam said, that's when you messed up. You can't do what you want to do in your own heart. Right? He said in his heart, and we're going to come back to this. Let's drop down to verse 33. We're going to say, what? When your heart is messed up, you just start doing all kind of stuff, right? Verse 33 says, so he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, which was, it was the feast of the Lord, but it was supposed to be on the 15th day of the 7th month. Right? But when you do stuff your own way, you change it and you make it fit. So that's what God had sent the man of God to Bethel to do, to correct the wrong that they were doing. All right? On the 15th day of the month, which he had what? Devised of his own heart. So he had began to do things according to what he thought was right and not what God has said. So when God sends a man of God down, he's trying to get Jeroboam and the children of Israel to correct the wrong that they were doing because they weren't doing it according to God's word. They were doing it according to their... You know, people say, well, in my heart, your heart is deceitful above all things. The Bible said, and desperately wicked. He said, who can know it? But God said, I, the Lord, I search the heart, I try the reins to give unto every man according to as his word shall be. So Jeroboam's problem was he was doing according to his own heart. Let me go through this real fast. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to the sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. He said, now, don't put yourself out of the way. You got to serve God out of convenience. Why are you going to go all the way over here and do that? He said, that's just way too much trouble. Don't worry about going to Jerusalem. So he made two golden calves for them to worship. That is against God. Remember when Aaron made the golden calf? The anger of the Lord was poured out upon them. He said, what have you done? Moses said, Aaron, what did you do? These are not the God, because God is not made. You cannot serve a God that's made by human hands, because our God is in heaven and he fills the heavens and the heavens. And the Bible says the heavens and the heavens cannot contain God. So how are you going to put God in the golden calf? So he builds a golden calf. He said, now these are thy gods. It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, who brought thee out of the land of... That was a lie. God brought them out. Amen. And he said, one in Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing became a... So God sent the man of God to correct the sin. And he said, now when you go correct the sin, I don't want you to stay in sin. Because the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. He said, now if you obey me, I will be your father and you will be my children. So he said, and there's sin. I don't want you to stay in sin. Because if you stay in sin, you're opposite of what I want you to do. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't think you all talk. Amen. So he said they couldn't do it because it was what? It was a sin for the people to worship before one, even unto dead. And he made an house of high places and made priests of the lowest people, which were not. Everybody knew that the priests came from the Levitical priesthood. They were from the sons of Levi. But when you want to do what's in your heart, you change the rules to fit your situation because you can do what you want to do. So the people that weren't supposed to be priests, he made them. Watch anybody that goes opposite of what God says. God has order. God has an ecclesiastical order. God has order. You can't make somebody something that they aren't when God didn't call them. But this is part of the sin. Right? They were just doing what they wanted to do because they were, he was in charge. Amen. So he made the lowest. How are you going to make somebody a priest that can't even fill the office? Because he was doing what was in his heart. Amen. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month of the 15th day, which was contrary to God, because the feast, I believe it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, was supposed to be on the 15th day of the 7th month. But he was now trying to disguise the true worship. The scripture says God is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such. Hallelujah. You can't come to church and you can pray and shout and sing all you want. But if it ain't no spirit and it ain't true, God ain't not watching you. Because God seeks those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So God is not interested in the phony. God don't care about no charlatans. God don't care about no spiritual masquerading. He said, when I come, I'm looking for those that worship me in spirit and in truth. For the eye of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward. I wonder, how is your heart tonight? Is it perfect toward God? Are you doing what you want to do? Let us all sing. Let's go. I think we got the picture. And I want to go out there, go on the brink of me.
determined.
Glory.
Whatever things that I've done wrong in my life, I got to get it right then. The Bible said, woe unto them who sin, follow them up. In other words, you haven't got your sin straight now. Woe unto you if you die in that state, because the way a tree falls, the way it's going to lie. It's time for us to be real with God. Anybody want to be real? Come on, give God a, don't be fake. Don't be a phony. Don't be a hypocrite. If you get a hypocrite, dime a dozen.
But can we be real with Jesus? The elders and ministers come forward. Amen.
Let the church say hallelujah.